old things have passed away. All things become new. You are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. How many of you are excited about that? Is there anyone here tonight that knows that you are here by one reason only? You're looking at a guy, and I'm looking at people. We don't deserve to be in the house. We don't deserve to be preachers. We don't deserve. We're not here because we deserve it. We are here for one reason only. The grace of God found us. The grace of God cleansed us. The mercy of God forgave us. The mercy seat of God wiped away our sins. I don't know if you know this, but if you really knew the real testimony of the person you were sitting beside, you might want to change your seat tonight. If you really knew the secrets they have between them and God, but God does not see you that way. He sees you through the righteousness of Christ. He sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you knew my real testimony, you would know why I worship the way I do. Tell him again, if you just knew who I used to be before he found me, you would know why I am sold out in the kingdom of God 100%. Is there anybody besides me tonight that you know you're unworthy to be in the kingdom, but a worthy king has deemed you worthy? He's baptized you and filled you with the Holy Spirit and taken away your sins. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is why this passage in the book of Corinthians says, do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Look at this. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, which is, means that's actually negative gossiping. To revile someone means that you're slandering a person. He says, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the next line. And such were some of you. Turn around to somebody and say, such were some of you. This list of people that can't get in, you used to be on the list of people that can't get in, but because of the righteousness of God, here you are. You used to be on the list of the people that couldn't walk in the door, but because of the glory of God, here you are, able to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not because of your own merit, not because you deserved it, not because you're that good, but because you have laid your life down at the cross of a Savior who took up your pain, who took up your shame, who took up your struggle, who took up your problems and nailed them to a cross and wiped away the ordinance that was written against you. Now in heaven, your pages of sin are blank. And when the King reads your story from the hall of faith, there will not be any struggles in that story. He will, when you get to heaven on the coronation day, when you get to heaven and God puts a crown on your head, He is not going to talk about your past. He is not going to talk about your sins. He's not going to talk about that chapter you wish you could redo or the one you wish you could forget. No, all of that has been wiped away in the river of baptism. All of that has been wiped away in the blood of Passover. All of that has been wiped away in the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now when you stand before Him, you will be one of those in the hall of faith. When He calls your name, He's going to talk about the peaks. He's going to talk about the overcoming. He's going to talk about the mountaintop experiences. Oh yes, you know there's more to your story, and that's why we shout the way we shout. That's why we worship the way we worship, because we know what we could have been, but thank God we're not what we could have been. We're not even what we ought to have been, but we are who we are because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Everybody say washed. And you were sanctified. Say sanctified. And you were justified. Say justified. In the name. Say the name. the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do you see it there? The water and the oil changed everything. The water and the oil cleansed everything. And now you are a new creature in Christ. Only God can take broken down people and build an army out of them. Only God. Notice what the end of this parable says, and everything was leavened. That means you, and that means me. That means before Christ, you also were a sinner. And that is expressly why, in the kingdom of God, guys, I'm locked up down there. It's not turning for me, so help me out back there in the back. I don't think anybody's back there. There we go. There we go. Nope. There we go. There we go. That is expressly why judgmentalism is strictly forbidden in the kingdom of God. Because here's the truth. If you start judging people, there's no end to that. Every one of us have a reason to be judged. You start digging in somebody's past, you'll find something. You start digging in somebody's sea of forgetfulness. I love Perry's sermon on fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. That is why judgmentalism in the kingdom of God is strictly forbidden, because every one of us have a reason to be judged. Every one of us have a story. Every one of us have a secret. Every one of us have a failure. Every one of us have a testimony. And every person in this room has been saved by the goodness and the grace of an almighty God. Hallelujah. How can I judge anybody when I know what he saved me from? How can I judge anybody when I know what he kept me from? So who are these kingdom people that God saves? How can God use people that look like they don't belong in the kingdom? You know this man. We call him Sam around here. He's actually spoken at some of the conferences. He's a teacher at ISO. This is his real name. He's actually going by that now. He's been going by a pen name because of all of his issues with the Muslim community. But now he's actually going by his name, Haysom Besmar. And he's actually watching us tonight, I think, online. So, hey, buddy. But let me tell you a story. Haysom was a Muslim for over 50 years, right at the age of 50. He prayed his Muslim prayers every day. He took his children to the mosque and prayed. His family is Muslim. His mother, father, brothers, sisters, every relative in his life is Muslim. And he was dying because of an eye infection in his optic nerve that had gone to his brain and infected his optic nerve, and he was dying. He was laying in a hospital at the age of 50 or maybe 51, I think, is when this happened, 50 or 51. He was laying in the hospital, and these nurses and doctors were coming in and out. And he says that a man came in who was dressed in white, and he just thought he was one of the doctors. And this man came in and sat down on the end of his bed. And he said, "I want to tell you a story." And this man began to walk him through the fallacies of Islam and begin to walk him through the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Scripture. He said to him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the Messiah." He said, "Which one?" He said, "The one that you persecute." And he began to tell him the story of the Bible. I've told this story many times overseas. As a matter of fact, I've been to Romania several times, and I was in Romania earlier this year, and I was telling this story there to the Romanians, and they said, "Listen, they have a whole school there in Romania that ministers just to Muslims." They said, "We've heard so many stories like this where Muslim people have come to the Lord because they say the man in white visited them and change their life." And here is a man who was serving Allah, who was praying his Muslim prayers so he could die a Muslim and go to his resting place in Islam. And here is a man living in his fear and struggling to die. His family not around him. He was in a room alone and was praying for his last prayers because the doctor said there's no hope and he's going to die. But a man in white came in and changed everything by giving him the truth. Now, how can a man like that in an instant or over a period of process that God has taken him through? Do you know what he's doing today? He's actually an ordained bishop in the church of God and a missionary in the church of God. Do you know that he is going around the world preaching? preaching. Do you know he's written a book on leading Muslims to Christ? Do you know that he's reaching Muslims in high levels, that he's actually reaching them in universities? Do you know that God, it's like a Saul to Paul conversion. God has taken a man like this, a man that you would say, how can he be in the kingdom? But in an instant, the Lord says, old things are wiped away, all things have become new, and now this man is a beautiful brother, my brother. He is a gospel preacher, and he's going around preaching in local churches, laying hands on the sick. God has given him a ministry of healing, and now this man, who just a few years ago was a Muslim practicing superstition, because that's a very real thing in the Muslim community, going to fortune tellers and all of that is a big part of the practice. He was doing all of that, but now he has turned to the truth and the living God, and he is casting out devils, and he is praying for the sick, and they're recovering, because only God can turn a person's life around like that. Hallelujah. My wife will remember this story very well, because she was on the keyboard this day when this happened. There was just one boy in the beginning. I was preaching I wasn't preaching yet. We're having praise and worship. In the middle of worship at Twin Rivers, we had 32 elders, and they liked to sit together because they were always praying for people in the altars. So if you ever came to Twin Rivers, you would see all those elders on the front row. I mean, so the whole front row was these elders, and they were worshipers too. I mean, these guys were really, they danced and they worshiped, and I mean, they were very exuberant worshipers. And so all these elders were sitting, 32 of them were sitting on the front row. And this one service, when we were doing praise and worship, I noticed this boy came up. He had his hat on sideways, and he laid down on his back, like right here in the middle, and starts spinning just like that. And the next thing we know, he is breakdancing like something crazy in the middle of praise and worship. I mean, this guy is like, he's an awesome break dancer. And I mean, he's got moves. But by this time, the church has stopped worshiping. They're all watching. You know, so people have stopped worshiping. Even the praise team is like, keep singing. I want to see what else he's got. You know, the band was playing, and now we were getting a show. And some of my elders were like the Fred Sanford move. You know, it's like, it's me, Ethel. I'm coming this time. I mean, I could just look down there, and some of these elders were going, oh, Lord, Pastor, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I was up on the stage this time, and I was sitting over there on the sideline. I'm watching this kid dance like this. And honestly, there's no book on that. They don't tell you that in preacher school. You know, it's like, what do you do when a break dancer comes into your service and starts break dancing? And so I didn't know what to do. And so I just take the mic and I walk down there and I said, hey man, what's your name? He said, my name's Derek. I said, what's your story? I said, first of all, you know, if I tried to dance like that, I would break something. So, you know, you're going to have to be the only break dancer here, because I certainly can't do it. But I said, what's your story? Here's his story. He said, well, now I can't talk like him. He was saying yo-yo and all kinds of stuff and doing his fingers certain ways. You guys can do it. I can't do it. I'll make a fool out of myself. You think my rapping's bad? You ought to see my street talk. It's worse. So I'm not even going to go there. All right. So this guy was making all these sign languages, you know, and saying all this language that I was barely keeping up with. And he said, you know, man, I work at this bar. And he said, Billy is back there with me. He's my spinner. Now, you know, in the South, a spinner's like this. You know, that's like a fishing thing. You don't know what a spinner is. I mean, so I had no idea what a spinner was. And so I found out later it's something you do with albums, and it makes these weird sounds, you know. But I'd never seen a spinner or heard what spinners do. So I'm still lost here, you know, in this genre. And so he sent Billy back there, yo yo Billy, this kind of stuff. Billy sends him yo yo, you know, they're yo yoing to back and forth to each other. And I'm trying to yo yo, but I don't know how to yo yo. I'm just trying to keep up, you know. And so they're talking to each other. And as I said, what's your story? Now, we had a ministry in our church called the Stranded Motorist Ministry. This guy named Jerry Perry and his sons ran the Stranded Motorist Ministry. And this is what they did. They drove the highways in St. Louis every Saturday night and looked for cars that were broken down. And when they would find a car that was broken down, they would one of them would fix the car while the other one would preach. That was their ministry. They would give out tapes and share the gospel, and they were winning. Now, I don't mean like hard preaching. They were sharing the gospel with them, and these guys won so many people to the Lord because their cars broke down. They'd get there before AAA or State Farm or whoever you have. They'd get there before all these guys would show up, and they would put gas in there, change the tires. That's all they did. Saturday nights was their night to evangelize, and they found broken down cars. They would repair the cars and then give them, load them up with all kinds of CDs and tapes back in the old days from our church. And so this guy was telling me this story. He said, you know, man, he said, well, I was driving home from the club, and he said, my car broke down, and me and Billy were out there on the side of the road, and he said, and these three dudes come up, you know, Jerry Perry and his boys or whatever you call them, you know, his guys. And anyway, he said, they fixed our car, and they said they'd fix our car under one condition. We would have to come to church. He said, so, man, that's why we're here this morning. We wanted to keep our promise because these guys got us out of a jam. So we slept fast and we came here this morning. He said, we didn't know you guys were a dancing church. And he said, when people started dancing, he said, well, I had to break my moves out. And I said, well, Derek, do you know why we're dancing? He said, no, man, I don't know why you're dancing. And I said, do you remember that story Jerry Perry told you last night about Jesus? He said, yeah. And I said, would you like to hear that story again? And right there with the microphone, I brought Billy up. I led Derek and Billy both to the Lord right there in front of the whole congregation. The night before, they were working the clubs. Now they're working the choir. Because, and the crazy thing about the story, I know what some skeptic is going to say, that won't last. Well, you didn't know Derek and Billy, and you don't know what the water and the oil did to them that day. Because when they got through, I asked the whole church, I said, would you guys like to see these new converts praise God a little bit more? And they all broke out clapping. They cranked up the music, and now the elders were over there getting on with them. I mean, they couldn't break dance. But now the elders are shouting and everybody's dancing and these two guys are spinning in the floor. And listen, guys, they did that for months. I mean, I thought eventually it would go away. I mean, our church was growing because we were the only church in town that had break dancers, and they were wanting to come and see these two guys break out. After a while, it became such a big deal, I had to move them over to the side. So I gave them their own little break dance corner over there. And so they would go over there, and these guys were really good at it. And then after a while, I noticed something. I noticed that they stopped break dancing as much, and they'd taken their hats off. And then one day, my heart just sank because I saw Derek walk in the back of the church, and he was carrying a Bible, and he had a jacket on. And you might think that's progress, but I was kind of sad because I was thinking, man, I just loved watching these babies grow in the Lord. I loved watching these toddlers learn how to walk and talk. And now I realize he was going to slip into a pew like everybody else. But guess what? They're still serving the Lord. One of them married a girl in the church. They're still serving God. And one of them is going into evangelism, working with a ministry there in apologetics in St. Louis and helping reach kids because the Lord gloriously saved them. You want to know where the kingdom people come from? The kingdom people don't look like kingdom people when he found them. The kingdom people don't look like royals when he found them. The kingdom people don't look like nobles when he found them. But he reached down, and some of you, he had to reach down a long, long, long way. Some of you, he had to dig in the mud to find you, but he's willing to pick you up and clean you up and go the distance and walk you through your struggles. He's willing to walk you out of your pain and walk you out of your problems and walk you out of your addictions if you will just totally surrender to him. Kingdom people are people that he has found. The grace of God has found them. The mercy of God has redeemed them, and now he is ready to crown them. That is where the kingdom people come from. They come from the leaven. Give God praise in his house. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, I hope you are enjoying this teaching, and the rest of it will play in just a moment, but I just wanted to take a moment, make you aware of a very special offer that we're offering right now on two of our most popular items. This one is called Keys to the Kingdom. This is a 3-DVD set that is a teaching on the parables of Jesus. Now, many people don't understand that the parables of Jesus, as you read them in the Bible, just sound like a story. Every one of them is a prophetic truth. Who knew that the parable of the Good Samaritan was about the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church? Every single parable unfolds just like that. That's what this teaching is about. And this is our top 10 most requested sermons. And we put this in a little USB drive, so you can stick it in your computer, or a lot of cars nowadays that don't have CD players have USB drives. So stick this right in your car and you can listen to our top 10 sermons as you drive down the road. So if you want this offer, go to briancutshall.com. This is offer Hope in the Word, or HW001. So HW001, and you can get this these two items at a special discount. Now let's continue in the Word of God.
So let me do one more, and I'm going to make this one quick. I'm actually not going to explain a whole lot of it, because it's kind of this one kind of explains itself. This is the parable of the fig tree. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender, it puts forth leaves, and you know that summer is near. Now you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So what do you see in this parable? Here's what I see. First of all, I see, he said, learn this. This is the primary lesson that we need to learn. Time is short. Notice the fig tree. This is the nation of Israel. Its tender branches and its leaves. There's a new season after a long winter of dormancy, referring to the resurgence of Israel in 1948, when the nation was dead and now it's alive again, fulfilling the scripture, can the Lord bring forth a nation in a day? And here we are, we're seeing the fig tree rise up, but its branches are tender. It's a new season after a long winter. And now it's telling us, when you see Israel back in, when you see Israel as a kingdom again, when you see the fig tree blooming again, notice that a new season is about to start. There's a new season that is coming. Summer is near. He said, when you see these things happening, these are the things talking about in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21 and in Mark 13, the signs of the time. He said, you're going to start seeing these things happen. He said, when you see these things happen, notice that the door is about to open. Which door is about to open? If you go to Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, he said that door represents the rapture of the church, because when that door, when you see Israel emerging and you see the signs of the time being fulfilled, and you see the youth of Israel, now only 70 years as a nation, but you see these tender branches of Israel, he said you see these things start to happen, then doors are going to open. What are the other doors? The one door is the rapture. Now the other doors are the book of Revelation unfolding in the 7 years of tribulation. But notice what he wants you to see. Learn this. Everybody say, learn this. Say it again, learn this. This is the part he wants you to see. This generation will not pass away until all these things come to pass. And then he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. There's two things you have to look at here. Number one, you see Israel. You see the signs of the time. You see the doors that are about to open. But notice this. This generation will not pass away. Every year that goes by, we are closing the times of the Gentiles. Every year that goes by, we are closing the door of the church age and the kingdom age, and we're ushering in the time of eternity. And that is why he said that you need to work toward what is important, because my words will not pass away. Here's what I want to admonish you with tonight. Our time is short. Israel has emerged. The signs of the times are being fulfilled. The doors are closing. This is the finest hour of the kingdom of God, and we must finish strong. Everybody say, we're finishing strong. This is not a time to quit. It is a time to gear up. This is not a time to stop. It is a time to start. Don't make long-range plans that don't include God and the rapture, because I promise you, you need to be working more toward eternity than anything else in your life. Can I tell you something about these kingdom people in the last days? The kingdom people are strong. They are not weak. They are not anemic. They are strong. The people I know in the kingdom, they are soldiers. Some of the toughest people I know in the world are Christians. We are an army. We have stood the test of time. Armies have tried to march over us. Our churches have been burned. Our saints have been tortured. Our martyrs have been slaughtered. Our forefathers have burned at the stakes of Nero's gardens. They use Christians in the sports arenas of Rome against the lions and the gladiators and the archers. Our preachers have been ostracized. Our missionaries have been jeopardized. Our scholars have been criticized. But we are still here, and we are still standing. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ has penetrated the iron curtain and the bamboo curtain and the walls of communism and the great walls of China. We have preached the gospel in prisons around the world. We have preached the gospel in countries around the world. Our preachers have been imprisoned, and some of them sent to concentration camps, but we are still here, and we are still pushing. We're not weak. We're not anemic. We're not complainers. We are tough. We are strong. We are the army of the Most High God. We have endured scandal. We have endured torture. We have endured countries that have outlawed the gospel and forbidden even a t-shirt of the name of Jesus to be worn. You can get arrested in some countries for owning one page of the Bible, and you can get arrested in some countries. You can get arrested in some countries for just having a t-shirt on that has the picture of Jesus or the name of Jesus on it. We have endured it, but in spite of all of this, Christianity is still the fastest growing religion in the entire world. We are still outgrowing every religion in the entire world. This is our finest hour. We must not quit. We are running the race that we must finish. Don't quit running just because you didn't get notice. Don't quit running just because they passed you over. Don't quit running just because no one knows your name or no one paid enough attention to you. Don't stop running because no one understands the price you paid. Don't stop running because some preacher disappointed you or some church disappointed you or some person has let you down. That's not a reason to give up on the kingdom. That's not a reason to give up on the king. If you're looking for an excuse, you'll always find one. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're never going to find one. But that is no reason to stop. That is no reason to quit. We need every soldier we can get. We need every soldier to put on their boots, to stand at attention, to put on the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. It is time to finish this race. If you have to crawl to the finish line, keep going. If you have to drag yourself across the finish line, keep going. If you have to lay hands on your own head and wash your own feet and serve your own self communion and baptize your own self, whatever it takes, don't give up now. Whatever it takes, don't give up now. We need every soldier on their feet. We need every soldier marching toward the finish line. Hallelujah. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but all of those who love his appearance. Work for the crown. crown, not for the crowd. Did you hear me? Work for the crown, not for the crown. Remind yourself it will be worth it all. Remind yourself that life is only temporary, but it's eternity in your view that you're working for. Remind yourself that the streets of gold have not faded. Remind yourself that Jesus is coming soon. Remind yourself that you declared you would take up your cross and follow him. Remind yourself a coronation day is coming with your name on it. Remind yourself that the light afflictions of this world are nothing to compare to the glory that shall be revealed in you. Remind yourself that one of these days you will hear him say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." If you're working for well done tonight, stand to your feet and give God an ovation of praise.
The Bible says that some send and some go. Well, thank you for sending me to the world. This program is made available to you and brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw Ministry. I want to thank all of our monthly partners who help us take the gospel and our books and products, DVDs, CDs, YouTube channels, everything that we do around the world. If you would like to partner with us in ministry, please go to briancutshaw.com and sign up today. We would love to partner with you in ministry.